Important dates in Christian history. 432 AD. After escaping years of slavery in Ireland as a young man, Patrick, a British Christian, returns to Ireland as a missionary. His work results in multitudes of Irish people coming to the Christian faith. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, Jimmy, riddle me this. How is Fortis Institute a lot like Bon Jovi? No, the correct answer is not. Todd can't sing either. Because, you know, his voice, little shredded. But that is not the... Oh. How is this ministry, Fortis Institute, a lot like Bon Jovi?
I have no idea because that was my answer.
We're halfway there.
Halfway...
Oh, we're halfway there. See what I did right there?
I see.
Yeah, I cherry-picked a line from Living on a Prayer, because we don't need the Living on a Prayer line, but we'll take the we're halfway there, because we are halfway to our goal for our matching gift campaign.
Oh, now I get it.
Hey, look, if people can proof text the Bible, I can proof text Bon Jovi. Oh, wait until you see this. Oh, you can thank Dalton for this. He found a Christmas service. I don't know if it was this year or last year. It's a female preacher. She's wearing kind of this Grinch-colored green dress, which she probably had to spend a lot of time shopping for, to preach a sermon on the Grinch who stole Christmas. I kid you not, the church service was about the Grinch who stole Christmas. She exposited the Grinch who stole Christmas. She would read a line and then preach it and try to apply it to us. The Grinch who stole Christmas. It's bad enough when preachers do that with the Bible. That, you know, they'll take a line or even a word. Boy, you see a lot of people on TV doing that. Hey, this word, what this really means is, and if you compare that to the number 74, and you look at Psalm 119:74, oh, see what I did right there. That's bad enough. This woman was doing it with the Grinch who stole Christmas. Jimmy? Would you be kind enough to pull up the Grinch? I can't think of a single line.
Okay.
I was never a big fan. I mean, I giggled at it when I was a kid, but we didn't spend time watching it with our kids. But I can't remember a line. Find a line from the Grinch and I'll preach a sermon. I just won't do it as shrilly. That's shrilly. Like chewing glass. Oh, please stop. Please stop yelling into the microphone, madam. Please, the Grinch. You got the Grinch pulled up?
Help me. I'm feeling.
Well, who said that?
The Grinch.
Help me out. So many people are feeling blue this time of year. And that's why we need to help them. I'm not kidding. That's what... Try another line. Maybe more than four words would be a little bit helpful.
It would be some helpful. Let's see. I did it.
Yes, you did. But you know what? You're growing me in forbearance, so I appreciate that. You know that sound effect drives me bonkers.
That's right.
So you do it, and then I have to practice patience.
Be it ever so heinous, there's no place like home.
So many homes are not going to be happy this Christmas. It's going to be heinous. Seriously, that's what she was doing. Except it was really more of a chide. The whole thing was just a scold. She actually started out by saying, okay, you're looking at it. I'm not, if you think this is annoying, wait till we show you this YouTube video. Some of you are looking at us like, well, it's the worst people in the world. She exegeted the Grinch who stole Christmas. So I can certainly proof text from Bon Jovi because we are halfway there too. Wow, this is taking a long time. Halfway there to our goal for our matching gift campaign. December's a big month, really, for every ministry, including ours. And we are just overwhelmed. We're halfway there. It's a very large gift. It's a very large goal. And so many people have contributed to it. And we're so grateful. And we are, quite honestly, I can't speak for Jimmy. No. I'll never speak for Jimmy, but I continue to be, every single time I see any gift come into this ministry, every time that I'm in the warehouse and I see an order, there's something about it that just, it gives me kind of like, oh boy, you're trusting us. You give us your credit card. You think that we're going to utilize your gifts in a godly way, whoa, it feels awesome. I don't mean like, dude, awesome. I mean like, oh, so thank you to everybody who has contributed. If you have not yet, and you can because you do not have unmanaged debt and because you're already giving to your local church, would you please consider partnering with us so that we can do more? Do you know that we actually, Jimmy, this is, I got to tell you, this is pretty amazing. We've actually got a 4-year plan.
Oh.
There are 4 big major initiatives that we've got planned over the next several years. They are really aggressive, really big. And I think that they are all going to serve and help the local church and the believers who are members in them. So if you'd please consider partnering with us, you double your impact. It's everything is matched. You can do that at fortisinstitute.org.
So let me be selfish. Am I part of that?
Part of what?
The 4-year plan?
Am I still? Do I have a job? Yes, Jimmy.
Okay, good.
If nothing else, do you know why you should go to Fortis Institute or FortisPlus.org and listen to the podcast? Jimmy, okay. All right. I'll just lose my heavenly reward for this. What did I text you on Saturday from the gym? Do you remember? Come on.
I'm looking for it.
Okay. I said something nice to you, didn't I?
You did say something
nice. What did I just paraphrase?
You said, I appreciate
you. See, you're growing me in forbearance again. You're actually looking through your texter. We're talking. Just talk without looking at your phone. Yeah. See how he's growing me in patience?
You said just listening to integrate it. Dude, you do such a great job. Thanks for being really great at what you do. I appreciated that.
And there was no sarcasm added?
No.
Because normally I'll put a bow of sarcasm on something.
You did.
Just straight for. If you listen to John Kratz's program, wow, it is. I think the one that I was listening to is just the episode on perspicuity, which is, as he pointed out, rightly so. It's kind of ironic that the word perspicuity means clarity. Because who knows what a perspicuity is? I guess it would be pair through, seeing through. Would be perspicuity, that it's clarity. The Bible is clear. Sure, there are some difficult bits. I think God was very gracious. He kind of made the Bible a bit of a buffet. You know, the kids, they're going to go to the yogurt and maybe the desserts. Well, there's that. And then for the meat eaters, there's that. For those people who need comfort food, there's that. Jimmy?
Yes?
I think I'm exegeting the old country buffet. I'm doing better than the woman did with the Grinch who stole Christmas. Oh, that was eye-crossing. I'm just telling you. Hoofda. John Kratz's podcast, you can find it at Fortis Plus. You should listen to him, even if you don't hear the words. Hear him. And the first time I met John Kratz, I think it was at a G3 conference. First of all, I was like, dude, you're tall. I don't like it when I see eye to eye with people. I don't mean that. Like allegorically or metaphorically. I mean, like same height. He's a tall dude. Warm and gracious and gentle and yet convictional. He's not a lib. And yet he's all of the things that Paul tells the Colossians the church is supposed to be forbearing. Sort of like I am with Jimmy when he's doing the thing. Thanks for growing me in fruit of the spirit, Jimmy.
You're welcome.
I could use some more work. The point is, I think he exemplifies a lot of the attributes that we believers are supposed to have because it ain't easy. I tend to hear you're supposed to speak truth in love. And then it comes out like this. Yeah, well, speaking truth is love. Okay, well, yeah, that's true, but I think it's also supposed to sound loving because we wouldn't be told to speak the truth in love if merely speaking the truth is automatically loving. Otherwise, we'd just be told speak the truth. Don't worry about how you do it because it's loving to simply speak the truth. No, when we speak the truth, it shouldn't be shrill like, I don't know, a Grinch who stole Christmas preacher. It shouldn't be angry and aggressive or condescending or agitated. Isn't it funny when you read through the X, the tweets and all of that? some of the dialogue that goes on amongst evangelicals, you can almost hear how angry it sounds and how unloving the contents are. And that ought not to be. And as long as I brought up the subject of X, was just reading somewhere that kids are using the TikTok machine to get answers to their questions. I got it here someplace. That they use the TikTok to, they are asking questions about how am I supposed to live? What? How do I make decisions? What's the purpose of my life? And where are they going? TikTok. It is not my favorite delivery mechanism. I know that some of our videos have, some people use them on the TikTok machine. We haven't gone there just because it's TikTok and the whole environment just kind of gives me the shakes, but I'm kind of torn because if we can reach a lot of people there because they're searching, then that would not be the worst thing in the world, would it? And it's another reminder, if these TikTok statistics are correct, that increasingly kids go there to find videos to speak to them. It tells us they're asking questions. That raises a question for us. Will we talk to them to provide the answers, and will it be better than the Grinch Who Stole Christmas? This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know how everybody's always trying to sell you something? This is different. We're actually giving away more content than most ministries charge for. The Fortis Plus app, daily videos, podcasts, director's cuts, news, completely free. All of this happens because of gospel partners just like you. Our gospel partners are the ones that get it. They see what we're doing, standing firm on biblical truth, strengthening churches, and helping people think biblically about everything going on in our upside down world. And that's why we want to ask you, if you're not already a gospel partner, we would love for you to join us. Maybe you've been listening for a while, and maybe you're thinking someone should help keep this going. Well, that someone could be you. Would you pray about becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Just head over to FortisInstitute.org right now. That's FortisInstitute.org and get all of the answers to all of the questions you likely have about becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Preborn Ministries, pro-life ministry, rescuing babies, the war, let me tell you, it's raging out there, and Preborn is right on the front lines providing what is so powerful, ultrasounds. When a woman sees her baby, 80% of the time, it's a no-brainer. That's my child. That's a baby in there, not a blob of tissue. Worldview is getting pumped into everybody through Hollywood, social media, the internet, universities, businesses, and government. If you'd be kind enough to consider supporting Preborn Ministries, that would be groovy. Lives are saved. Women, men, hear the gospel. Please consider supporting this network of clinics that is doing such great work. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, do you ever wish you could be in two places at once? Well, your money can. That's right. Thanks to a $500,000 matching grant, every dollar you give to Fortis Institute is literally having an identity crisis. It thinks it's $2. And who are we to argue with confused currency? And I know what you're thinking. It sounds like one of those too-good-to-be-true deals. But I promise there is no fine print, no while supplies last, and definitely no purchase of additional items required. Just straight-up dollar-for-dollar matching. Here's the deal. You gift $100, it becomes $200. Gift $500, it transforms into $1,000 faster than you can say tax-deductible donation. And if you're feeling really generous, $5,000 becomes $10,000. But unlike those infomercial offers that run every other week, this one, it really does have an expiration date, December 31st. That's when this magical money multiplying moment ends. Just visit FortisInstitute.org right now. That's FortisInstitute.org. In a world where everything seems to be getting smaller, isn't it nice to see your impact getting bigger? FortisInstitute.org.
Books of the Bible. 1 Corinthians is a letter from the Apostle Paul to the church in Corinth. Paul addresses his concerns about divisions and immorality in the church. Then Paul answers questions from the Corinthians about marriage, food, worship, gifts, and the resurrection. When you want to understand God's high calling for the church, look to 1 Corinthians. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Thanks, Jimmy. You just keep growing me in patience. This is Wretched Radio. Okay, fine. I blew it. I missed the John Kratz opportunity to play this.
One way to make your Christmas merry this year is by slowing
down. Just listen to him. This is what I'm talking about here. This is John Kratz. He's one of the Fortis Institute fellows. He's a pastor in Shopsburg. You got to say it. The R has got to be soft. Shopsburg. Like, spell it Shopsburg. Shopsburg, Georgia. And then suddenly you've got a Southern accent. He is so pastoral, but even he's godly. This is worth listening to and then comparing our tones against his.
One way to make your Christmas merry this year is by slowing down.
He's like Michael Bublé. I remember the first, this is weird. I actually have a memory that I remember because not much sticks around up there. I was in Los Angeles driving around with a little growing pain. And he said, yo, you got to listen to this guy. It's really great. And then he put in Michael Bublé. And I remember immediately thinking the guy sings with a smile on his voice. And that's how John Kratz sounds. He just has a smile on his voice. This is well worth emulating. And I promise I won't press pause again.
One way to make your Christmas merry this year is by slowing down and becoming intentional. Reminding your kids and your family, reminding yourself of why we do what we do at Christmas time. You can take this too far. One year I did. We were gathered around the Christmas tree, passing out presents to our kids, and I didn't want them to become materialistic. I wanted them to appreciate Jesus and value him. And so I started our Christmas morning by reminding our kids that we all deserve to go to hell. And anything that we get as a gift is so much better than what we deserve.
Is he going to say that's a bad thing?
Now, technically, I was true, but I kind of blew it that Christmas. So don't be like me and go too far. But do slow down. Why do we give gifts? Why do we gather together with our brothers and sisters and sing these songs? It's about Jesus. And as we do slow down and become intentional, that's going to help us to have a very merry Christmas.
And that is Dr. Pastor, the Reverend Dr. John Kratz, who is a Fortis Fellow. We are super grateful for his participation. You can hear his podcasts at fortisplus.org. I've got Andrew Walker here, too. Does he have some Christmas advice for us?
I think so.
Okay, does it have anything to do with the Grinch who stole Christmas?
Nope.
Then we're good to go.
In our culture, we talk about having a Merry Christmas. And you might be wondering, how do we have a Merry Christmas? And I want to point us towards 1 Timothy 6:6, where the Apostle Paul says, contentment with godliness is great gain. So I want to encourage you over this holiday season to practice contentment. That might mean for you what it is probably going to mean for me, which is I'm going to be trying to take every opportunity that I can to get a good book, some good Christmas music, and to sit and quietly read and reflect upon the kindness of God that he gives us this time of the year, that he gives us time with our family. And most of all, he gives us this wonderful celebration called Christmas, where we celebrate our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And it is Jesus Christ alone that provides us the ultimate ground for our contentment.
Contrary to what the new Joel Osteen-produced Mary movie would teach you on the Netflix machine. That gives me, just listening to Andrew, I think we talked about this a week ago, about making your Christmas celebrations less by asking the question, what's your goal? So when those relatives come over that get up your nose, what's your goal? So why do they bug you? Most likely, it's because you want it to be a Courier and Ives Christmas. You want it to be fun. You want it to be jolly. There ain't nothing wrong with that. But if that's the goal, most likely your relatives are going to help you miss it. But if your goal is, I actually want to be a light at Christmas, then you will interact with them in a way that is actually intentional and loving because you have a bigger, loftier, eternal goal, and that is to see the salvation of their souls. And maybe a similar question should be asked by all of us. Right, what is my expectation for Christmas? Once again, I find it fascinating. We don't do this about Easter, but because the culture is so hot about Christmas, and we are surrounded by it for an entire month or more. Let's ask the question, what's my goal for Christmas? What is your expectation? Do you expect a feeling? How long do you expect that feeling to last? How intense should that feeling be? What is that feeling anyway? What are you hoping for? Because if you don't have some sort of goal, you're almost certainly going to miss the mark. I wonder if that isn't why a lot of us feel frustration. We don't really define what it is that our expectation is for Christmas. And then when it happens and we roll through the season, it's like, well, that was kind of, and then we get back to the office. How was your Christmas? It was okay. Pretty good. Yeah, fine. Good. No presents and stuff like that. Nobody had a Lexus in the driveway, which apparently people do. Otherwise, they wouldn't keep making the commercials. I don't know who those people are, but good on you if you can buy somebody a Lexus for Christmas. You're going to feel disappointed by it. So what is your hope for Christmas? Is it something that is at all attainable? And might it be worth our time to consider what it could be? What could it be that you could actually, when it's all done, check the box and say, yes, I know that. Could it be that you grow in your understanding of your own depravity? That could be a goal. And that ain't a bad goal, by the way. That Jesus Christ was born in a manger. He, talk about extreme. God became flesh. Why? Because you're a really bad sinner. And maybe if that's just the goal for it, that you think about that when you walk by a manger scene. Wow, God had to become a baby to live a perfect life of righteousness because I can't because I'm such a bad sinner. Okay, then when it's all done and you're at the office and somebody says, how was your Christmas? You can go, awesome. Great. Why? Because you've met your goal. Could it be your appreciation for Jesus? Could it be your appreciation for redemption? Could it be your appreciation? Maybe it's an appreciation for all of the tangible things that he's done for us. Look around. My favorite hymn, Lord of Glory, who has bought us with your lifeblood as the price, never grudging for the lost ones, that tremendous sacrifice. Now here it comes. And with that, so not only did he give us redemption, and with that has freely given blessings countless as the sand to the ungrateful and the evil with thine own unsparing hand. Consider all that he's done. So maybe we're sitting around the tree and opening up the gifts. Then look around. The chair you're sitting in is a gift from God. The carpet that are underneath your feet that are wrapped in slippers. Gifts, 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 everywhere, gifts. Your left knee hurts, but your right one doesn't. There's a gift for you. What is your goal for Christmas? I wonder if we wouldn't all be helped by defining what it is that we are hoping for. All right, Jimmy, as long as we're doing fellows, who else do we have in here?
Adam Tyson.
And push this button.
Hey guys, Adam Tyson here, and I want to wish you a very Merry Christmas. How can you make your Christmas merry this year? One of the things I try to do around Christmas is just to think about the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, throughout redemptive history, God's always brought babies at special times in Israel's history, and even in the New Testament as well. We think about the birth of Isaac to Abraham and Sarah. We think about the birth of Samuel to Elkanah and Hannah. We think about in the New Testament, the birth of John the Baptist, who was a forerunner to Christ. And if you go back and look at the texts that surround those births, there's something miraculous happened. Either the lady was older or she was barren, and God just gave her life. And when you think about Mary and the virgin birth, that's the greatest gift of all. The greatest message and the greatest hope that God could ever give would be that he's going to send his son, his one and only son, who would fully be God and fully be man. And that happens through the virgin birth. God miraculously gave Mary a baby, that he's fully human and fully God. And that means that we can be redeemed. That means that Jesus can die in our place as a human, but he's also fully God. meaning that he's divine and he's the perfect sacrifice. So when I think about Christmas, I just love to think about the incarnation. I love to think about the hope that the birth of Jesus Christ brings. I hope that'll encourage you to have a very Merry Christmas.
Did you hear the theology in that about the hypostatic union, fully God, fully man? He is the Savior we need. We need a man to represent us. We need a divine sacrifice to pay for our sins, for the debt we owe to God himself. Jimmy, I was reading something about, I think I was reading through church history on the subject of divorce and marriage, and somehow I stumbled into some early church fathers, which is why you always want to be a little bit discerning with those guys. They were talking about how when Mary gave birth, she didn't feel any pain. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. And no doubt she did. Why? Because it was a very typical birth. It is the baby that is unique. And by the way, the baby in the manger did cry because he was fully human and fully God, because he is the exact Savior that you and I need. Maybe thinking about that should be our goal for this Christmas. After all, I think that's exactly what Christmas is all about. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.